I've received news in the last week or so about what the New South Wales government plans to do with the taxi industry. We've been overwhelmed, of course, by rideshare companies entering the market, and many people avail themselves of those services. But it appears the New South Wales government, via stealth, is about to try and crush the taxi industry. Now, I'll tell you what will happen when they crush, and if they do crush, the taxi industry. All the benefits by having the rideshare companies in Australia will disappear very quickly, because competition will not be there anymore. You won't be able to have, particularly in rural areas, your local taxi service. Now, what the government is proposing is basically the destruction of the taxi industry in New South Wales. They want to take back, not buy back, take back all taxi plates for a minimal sum, and that's if you've got two plates. If, as you would in some rural areas, have six or seven plates, you only get the money for two. You get nothing for the others. Now, people have paid for these plates in a free market hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, in rural areas, and I'll get to the rural areas specifically, but I'll also talk to Martin Rogers from the Taxi Council of New South Wales, their CEO, about how it impacts on Sydney services. But in rural areas, your local rural taxi service will basically cease to exist. They won't be able to do it. Fares will not be regulated, meaning you'll pay whatever Uber or the rest of them want to charge. And think about this. Think about this prospect, okay? You own a home. It's worth $750,000. That's your asset. That's it. You own it. You've worked your bum off all your life to get that asset. And that's part of your superannuation plan, so that when you sell it, you downsize, or you go into a retirement village, you sell the home, and that funds your retirement. Think about the government coming along and saying, we'd like your home. Oh, okay then. How much will you give? I'll give you $100,000 for it. What? Yeah, well, we've got legislation in place. We're going to take it off you for $100,000. But here's the good news. Once we take it, we're going to lease it back to you for $500 a week. I mean, what sort of lunacy is this? Martin Rogers from the New South Wales Taxi Council, their CEO's online. G'day, Martin.
G'day, Ray. Thanks for having us.
Mate, if this wasn't all shown in black and white, I'd think that someone had gone stark raving mad and made it all up. But it's apparently true.
It is, and just remember that in some of those areas where you got more than two licences. Now, they did use an example where they might cap it at two, but imagine that example about the house where they also gave you nothing and then said you can rent it back off us.
Nothing at all. So the idea is, and there would be plenty of people in rural parts of New South Wales who have more than two taxi plates, for the want of a better term. Someone calls it licence, but it's actually the plate you own. So if you got more than two and you bought it as a going concern and you're operating it along with your wife and maybe other members of the family, or maybe you give jobs to local people, you are the person that owns the plate, and you got six, seven, eight, nine or ten in a rural community, they'll give you money for two, and what, you get no money for the other six, seven or whatever you have.
Yeah, right, and this was an example that the Transport for New South Wales used on a webinar to say, well, let's do an example of some assistance and we'll provide that. It was $50,000 as an example, capped at two licences. So when you look at those people in regional New South Wales to provide that service to the community that they've done very well for many years, to then be hit in the face with saying, well, that asset that you've partnered with the government with, we're going to cancel all that value. And we're going to give you two licences for any assistance. So the person there says, well, I've partnered with the government for many years. I've followed all the regulations. I've built my asset. Remember, the taxi industry is 5,000 small businesses, and that's the way they transact on it. They go in, they buy the asset, they work hard 7 days a week, they pay it off, and when their time is done, they sell it to the next person. The government want to cancel that opportunity and give them pretty much minimal assistance for that license they're taking away.
Okay, I'll give you one specific example, because thankfully someone's written to me about this, and these are the proprietors of the Southern Highlands of New South Wales. They run a taxi service in the Southern Highlands, and they're highly valued, I understand. I don't know the people personally. So they purchased, over 20 years ago, 18 taxi plates attached to 18 pretty old cars, and they pay a total price of $1.5 million for the business. So they work hard over the last 20-odd years, with a big focus on customer service. The fleet is increased with 5 free wheelchair accessible licenses as well, so that people who are, you know, not able to get about in normal taxis can have access to the wheelchair accessible taxis. So prior to 2015, with the introduction of rideshare and Uber, and 18 normal taxi plates, the value goes to just a tick over $4 million or $236,000 a plate. These people are now confronted with basically getting, what, $100,000 for a business that's worth over $4 million, and that's without any goodwill.
That's correct, Ray. That's exactly what would happen to that business. It runs a great service in the Southern Highlands, as you mentioned, and that's the real challenge. You've got to remember that all of this, Ray, started back in 2015 when the government changed the regulations to allow someone to operate in the industry without the need for a licence. The people in the taxi industry partnered with the government, and those in the Southern Highlands over 20 years did that. They followed the rules, they partnered, they built the asset. And the government in 2015 started that, and now they want to cancel them altogether. We need to get appropriate compensation for all of the asset loss that's happened since 2015. There was an upper house inquiry that found that 80% of the loss of the value was a direct result of the government's handling of the introduction of rideshare, and they recommended a buyback of all ordinary taxi licences. Unfortunately, the government chose to ignore the recommendations of that inquiry.
So we get to where we are today. Now, that's the Southern Highlands, and all the other regional taxi services have been looking after their local customers for, you know, decades. Let's get to the big smoke. Let's get to the city of Sydney, where we've got thousands of taxi plates, and, you know, they're all part of a cooperative, whether it may be, you know, the various, you know, taxi companies, and, you know, there's a whole range of them that act as a cooperative, and there are people who are members of that who own the plates. Where are they set? Are they in the same boat as those in regional New South Wales?
Exactly the same boat. So you've got, so the whole point is that taxi licences across all of New South Wales have been cancelled. So all of those that have partnered and supported the industry across the whole of New South Wales for the last 70-odd years, they will also lose their licences. And all of that value that they partner with the government, and this is the thing, it's the small businesses, whether you're in Sydney, whether you're in regional New South Wales, that are also impacted. These people, that's how you bought and sold. You got your licence, you worked it hard, it was your asset, you then sold at the end to then live into retirement. The other issue you're looking in regional New South Wales, Ray, is that, as you know, you do a service on Friday, Saturday nights at peak, you do the Monday to Thursday, not so good to earn, but you're out there for the service of the community. When all of a sudden these get cancelled, the viability of offering those services 24/7 comes into question.
I can't believe that a Liberal National Party government would want to do this to small business and some medium-sized businesses as well. I just can't believe that Dominic Perrottet would be a party to this sort of behaviour. I mean, just imagine we take it, I mentioned the house and you mentioned, yeah, it's like giving nothing for the house and renting it back to you. Imagine the highly regulated hotel industry. You know, if with a whim, someone decided to come from overseas and said, look, we don't mind running pubs, but we're going to run them without a licence. And so all of a sudden they do the same thing to the hotel industry. Do you reckon the publicans wouldn't be screaming the joint down? As taxi plate owners would also be screaming the joint down. It's not the way we work in Australia. You can't do this to people. You can't just arbitrarily say, no more, the business is worth, you know, two and six, so that's all you're going to get, 2 and 6, because we're closing it down. I mean, it doesn't work like that.
Exactly right, Ray. If you want to participate, there's regulations to follow. There's licence fees to pay. If the government want to change that, and we're not against reforms, we want to advance the industry. Yeah. But you've got to make sure the people that built the industry, invested their hard in the industry, need to be appropriately compensated. And this is from 2015. They've been going through 6 years of turmoil where the government haven't actually provided any compensation for the loss of value because of the regulatory environment that the government introduced to support a technology platform.
No one's dirty on Uber or any other ride-sharing platforms. I mean, a lot of people use them and are quite happy with them, all that, but it's got to be in conjunction with a regulated service where, you know that the person driving the cab is the same bloke who's got the photo on the dash, is the same bloke who pays the insurance, is the same bloke who does all the other things, and, you know, is responsible to someone, in the end, being the government, because he's in a licensed plate. I mean, he's not just getting out in the Toyota Yaris on a Friday afternoon and driving about, you know, and picking up people on behalf of Uber or someone else. There's a role for them to play, but you can't decimate an entire industry on the basis that the taxi industry is now being competitively aimed at by the ride-sharing. I'm stunned. I got this information about a week ago, and when I started reading it, I couldn't believe it. Then you and I had a conversation about it off-air, and I said, is this true? And you said, yeah, 100%. It's all true. When's the legislation enacted? When do they say they're going to do this?
So they're looking to want to bring a bill to Parliament. They were saying this year, with the view then shortly thereafter to wanting these reforms to be enacted and put into regulation and put into the working place. And this is the issue. What do you say, Ray, to someone like a gentleman, Ray Stapleton, who's in Bathurst, who he invested in towards the latter part of his working life, invested in the plate, worked it, got a loan against it. He wanted to retire when he was 75, but now he can't sell it. So you've got nothing to sell because the government has taken the value away from him.
Well, that's the point. I mean, even with that legislation, who's going to buy it? No one's going to buy it with this hanging over their heads. No one's going to buy a taxi plate.
That's right. And we need to make sure that the 6 years of hardship, the government need to go back to 2015, pre-reforms, look at the values that these people invested in and pay appropriate compensation. You can't just cancel someone's asset that they've worked hard for and give them minimal or nothing for it. That is not the right thing to do.
If they want to deregulate it, go for your life. But make sure you compensate the people who've operated on a system that's been in place for decades and decades and decades. And we'll be pushing that with Dominic Perrottet. The first time I get a chance, I'll discuss it with him and anyone else I can. We've got ministers coming and going because of by-elections and the like at the moment. But whoever's in charge will be answerable to us here. And I represent the taxi industry, because they're decent, hard-working people, and yes, they have to accommodate competition. We understand that, but they can't be treated like offal by the New South Wales state government. Martin, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ray, and thanks very much for your support across all of New South Wales.
Martin Rogers, New South Wales Taxi Council CEO. I mean, fair dinkum. It's like something from a George Orwell novel. Just deciding, no, you can't have that, we're taking it. I think we had a hard-working cabbie on the line. G'day, Paul.
G'day, Ray. That's exactly right, mate. That everything that you and Martin Rogers said is spot on. It's beyond belief. Yeah, we go back to 1980-odd. A report to Neville Rand's government said, we want money out of the taxi licences. And since then, they've sold them, they've auctioned them, they've leased them, and they've encouraged turning them over by private sale. That's been done, and they've taken money out of it left, right, and centre. Yeah, and now, could you imagine, you own the block of ground, as Martin said to you earlier. There's compensation, it's compulsory land acquisition and resumption. Well, this is absolutely no different. Yeah, they've just come in roughshod. They put one committee that the government put up, known as the Baker-Finch Committee, gave them the answer they wanted. Or don't buy it back. But the government's own upper house committee looked at it, and they said, no, there's got to be a buyback. We've got to compensate these people. You know, it's just beyond belief. And it's happened elsewhere, like the egg producers and fishing licences and that, I believe, they were given, you know, good compensation, fair compensation. That's all we want. God, you know, what are you meant to do, right?
Well, Paul, I'm as exasperated as you, and I'm not in your position. I just can't believe they're doing this to people who've worked their guts out for, in some cases, half a century, and they don't want to give them a caraway seed and a cup of water for their taxi plate. It's just not right.
Yeah, and they, like, they, no one cares about competition, as you say, but they let Uber in for nearly 3 years illegally, and they ran amok illegally, and the government didn't do a thing. They didn't even change the legislation to give themselves some teeth. And I believe that they're currently under the pump, something like 1,500 unreported by Uber sexual offences by their drivers, and they didn't report them to the government. You know, if we did that, we'd be out in our ear immediately. You know, in London, they've cancelled their operating licence over on three occasions, yet here they want to. They've told us what to do, how to do it. They've stopped us as an industry over the years doing innovations that we wanted to do. They said, no, we'll tell you how to do it, and that's how it's done. And now they say this.
Yeah. All right, Paul, obviously you're upset and you're entitled to be upset. Theodora's online. She's in the tax industry as well, I think. G'day, Theodora.
Hi, Martin. Oh, hey, how are you going, Ray? Good?
Good, darling. Yeah, I'm good, thanks, love. What could you got to say?
I just wanted to say that my husband bought a plate in 2014, and just to reiterate what the gentleman before us was talking about, I mean, we came in and the market was heavily regulated. We were told what to pay, you know, when to buy it, how to buy it, where we're allowed to go, what we're allowed to do, and all of a sudden, Uber and all the other rideshare companies came in, operated illegally for a number of years, with no repercussions, no reforms coming through, and now this proposed reform is coming through. And it's going to decimate the industry, both in regional and here in Sydney. And we just wanted to have a fair go. We just wanted to be consulted. Those two reports that came back through, only the Sue Baker Finch report was actually looked at and it was all agreed on. And we just want to have a fair go. We just want to make sure that we're listened to, we're compensated fairly. We still owe money, over $300,000 on our taxi plate, right? That Partree, $55,000, that was an example of what may be paid to us. I mean, it's wrong. It's not even going to cover anything. It's not going to cover any of our costs. We have a family to raise, children to put through school. I mean, it's wrong. And it's really disheartening, and it's putting a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of issues on other people. It's just, I mean, I don't know what to do.
Well, Theodora, hang in there, because we're going to work hard for you and other people in that position. We can't have you treated as you're being treated at the moment. So you just hang in there. It's not over yet. Peter says, this taxi licence issue in New South Wales is like the Greyhounds, compulsory acquisition of residential property. Like you, I can't believe this is coming from a Liberal National Party coalition. More like something the Greens would do. What about a fair go for the battlers? George says, thanks for battling on behalf of the cab plate owners. My poor dad in 1990 bought a plate for $165,000, got a loan, house and mascot, cost $220K at the time. Who's the mug? It's disgusting for a Liberal National Party government to act in this way and do this to people. Ray, don't forget about the hire car industry as well. They did us over. Yes, I'm well aware of that. 1318732, 2GB.com. Click on the feedback icon. And we've got a lot of emails coming from people in the taxi industry and even people not in it, who, of course, want to support the taxi industry.